Hey, thank you, Kane. 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Yeah, I talk about Trey each morning, but Monday mornings has got to, this is when it hits hard, man, because it's when people get started with a new project, whatever it is. It's time to get rid of the junk. If that's your project, he's like, we're going to get organized around here. I got a pro tip for you. Easier to organize, fewer things. Pro tip. Father of two children, mm-hmm. and lots of stuff in the house. Okay. When you get rid of the stuff, it's a lot easier to organize. Now, if you need to do a combo here, I thought about this combo where you have Trey and the crew come out. Maybe you've got, boxes in the attic you want to get rid of. You've got a swing set in the backyard you want to get rid of. Whatever it is, something big like that. You have them, but while they're there, mm-hmm. have Trey and the crew walk through the house and say, and here's my son's room. There's a lot of things in here. I think we could probably get 90% of this stuff in your truck. Go to my daughter's room, and I think 95% of these things. Just as a little shakedown to see if you get their attention. So, wherever it is, you got a storage unit you need to clean out that you don't even know what's in there, but you pay on it every month. House you're getting ready to sell. Just an office, a shop that's got just junk in it. You don't know what to do with it. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's that easy. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll ask you what day and what time works for you. They'll set that appointment. Everybody will agree on a specific real appointment time. Train the crew, show up. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They've been doing business in Mobile and Baldwin County for 12 years now. And a buddy of mine, check them out today. All right. Phone number, text line is 343-0106. 343-0106. Also, shamelessly add in votenappies.com. Mm-hmm. Check that out.
Yeah, I've got through Sunday. I think Sunday at midnight is when the voting ends for the nappies. So through June 28th, and we sure would appreciate your votes.
And this is the general election in the nappies. This isn't a primary. It's not a primary runoff. This is the general election.
Even if someone wins by one vote, that's the final. That's it.
That's it.
Right. No recounts.
So that's and it's all over at votenappies.com. Y'all were very kind to nominate so many shows from the station, so many categories. Please help out and get those votes. Even though we are fighting against ourselves mm-hmm. in a lot of those categories because we do so many local talk shows, it's cool. Just vote. Find one of those FM Talk 106.5 shows, and that makes me happy. All right. Speaking of the election cycle, too, I saw Henry Thornton over at Yellowhammer, and this came up last week. I don't know if it was Jeff Poore that said it or Todd Stacey that put the number on it, but Henry Thornton has got a headline here at yellowhammer.com. Says, Club for Growth reports spending over $850,000 on Alabama political races in the past week.
Wow. $850,000.
Right. So what that probably is, and kind of pull back the curtain here on broadcast, that's probably booked advertising. It's probably
not for the run week.
It didn't all run, but that was probably placed advertising. So it goes on to say, Club for Growth Action, the super PAC associated with the Club for Growth, reported spending $851,070 on three federal races in Alabama this last week, the majority of which goes towards running ads on television and some on radio, as we know. Most notably, the Republican primary runoff for U.S. Senate, the group reported spending $196,409 in support of former Auburn head football coach Tommy Tuberville. Members of the Republican Party are often divided over Club for Growth, many cited as a bastion of fiscal conservatism and limited government principles. Others say the group's opposition to President Donald Trump during the 2016 primaries and continuing objections to the Farm Bill prove it's out of touch with key conservative constituencies. The club was an ardent supporter of Jeff Sessions when he was in the Senate. Let me get William Thornton on the phone. I think it really was more, and maybe William could prove me wrong, but everything I heard, it was Club for Growth was campaigning against Bradley Byrne. Mm-hmm. They didn't support Tuberville or Sessions as much as they were against Bradley Byrne. The club was, they said, he says, an ardent supporter of Jeff Sessions. I really don't know how true that is. But said earlier in 2020, decided to support Tuberville a few days after the former Auburn coach was endorsed by Trump. In contrast to other primaries in the state, the PAC so far is refraining from attacking Sessions and instead solely focusing their resources on supporting Tuberville. Wait a second. They're attacking Jerry Carl here, so don't tell me they're not attacking. And maybe just in the Senate race is what they mean. It says the group often intervenes in primaries where they believe they can help elect a potential ally. In other words, somebody will do what they want them to do.
Right.
Let's see. Notable Club for Growth backed politicians are U.S. Senators Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and Rand Paul. In the Republican primary runoff for Alabama's 2nd Congressional District, the Super PAC reported spending $484,375, with $383,842 going towards airing ads. Barry Moore's opponent in the AL2 primary runoff is Dothan businessman Jeff Coleman, who has been endorsed by the Alabama Farmers Federation as their political arm. In terms of Club for Growth money, $316,579 was spent opposing Coleman, $167,796 was supporting Barry Moore. So remember that they run Moore attack, you know, and PACs, of course, aren't affiliated with the candidate, but they do more of attacking than supporting. All right, and then goes on to say, this is Thornton from Yellowhammer News. Statewide, this is not me. He says the club's favorite candidate in Alabama, at least by money spent, appears to be Bill Hightower in AL1. The group has spent more than $1 million since the start of the 2020 cycle with the goal of getting Hightower elected, including $170,286 in the last week. $1 million spent on one candidate in the AL1.
That seems like a lot of money spent for the AL1 race.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal to us, but remember, this is a national group focused here. It says Hightower's opponent in the July 14th runoff is Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, who's also been endorsed by the Alabama Farmers Federation political arm. The entirety of the club's spending in the AL1 during the past week has gone to opposing Carl's campaign. Additionally, Stephen Moore, past president of the Club for Growth and former economic advisor to President Trump, endorsed Hightower this past week. Carl called on Hightower to renounce the endorsement due to Moore's alleged adulterous behavior in his heinous comments about women and minorities. Hightower did not respond to Carl and called Moore a major endorsement in a Facebook post. A representative in the communications department of Club for Growth did not immediately respond to Yellowhammer's news's request for comment. All right, so one of the things I thought was interesting, and it wouldn't just be Club for Growth, other PACs do this. And you have a PAC form to support Jerry Carl now. It's specifically to support Carl, while Club for Growth picks races around the country. They're a national group, and they pick races where they think they can get somebody on their side, like William Thornton said. Everybody that I've talked to that has been in a race where Club for Growth is opposing them had their cattle call as well. In other words, they will go to Washington. Here's this PAC that's got money. Okay. Now remember, the PACs, this is just how it works. The PACs are not affiliated with the candidate, but candidates will go and sit down and have an interview with the PAC, either in person or on a sheet or whatever, and they ask you questions about how you would vote on this, that, or the other, or how you have voted on this, that, or the other. And if you fail specific constraints, and I know in AL1, two of them were Austell, supporting the Austell program, and the Farm Bill. If you would vote for either of those, then you don't get the endorsement.
Really?
So that's how they judge. It'd be interesting in a situation where you had all candidates saying, I'd vote for Austell. Hopefully we'll have Bill Hightower on this week. I think he's going to come in this week to talk to him about it, because I don't know what they would do in a situation where everybody said I'd support it, but that's the tough thing. And they were so opposed to Bradley Byrne, and it was on a couple different votes he took, but they were part of bigger bills that had a bunch of stuff in them. But part of them was, you know, I mean, you look at Austell and Farm Bill, that's two very big things for AL1.
Yeah.
And so you're asking someone to vote against the interest of their district to be able to get support from this national group. And they're not, I don't want to just pick on Club for Growth, because they're not the only one that does it.
Right.
There's tons of PACs that pick different candidates, and they usually have a very narrow definition of what they're interested in. But what stands out to me is the amount of money that's been spent. I mean, $1 million on one side in the AL1 race is got my attention.
Seriously, yeah. And I don't know how much Club for Growth had budgeted to spend on all of their national races combined, but you have to imagine that $1 million on in one race.
That's not the entirety of the race, y'all. That is what they have spent
for Hightower.
Yeah,
since the campaign began.
Right. I mean, there's other spending that's gone in on AL1. I mean, the Jerry Carl side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back before we were in a runoff, You had all the candidates. We had the debate back in November. You had all that spending. So there's been a bunch of spending, but specifically one group, one candidate. That's what that number is.
And that debate seems like it's a lifetime ago at
this point.
Doesn't
it really?
It does. But it makes you wonder, you know, Hightower and Carl, as two conservatives from, you know, South Alabama, you wonder, would their voting be that much different? You know, if there's two different timelines, one where Hightower gets elected and one where Carl gets elected, how many votes would they really differ by on the national stage? And what's the difference there that it means enough for Club for Growth to spend $1 million in promoting one candidate over the other? It brings a lot of questions to mind.
And it does in a primary setting. And I've asked this, and I'll say this for Sessions Tuberville. I'll say this for Carl Hightower. Pick a Republican primary race. When they say so-and-so is not going to support Trump, there's not, with a very few exceptions, there's not a Republican that's running for office in the state of Alabama that's not going to go stand with President Trump. I know the commercials will tell you differently, but I'm sorry. I've been around this a long time. The Republican candidate, I mean, is it 100%? No. It might be 90%, 95% standing with Trump. There's the idea that, then you got to move on to something new. Then who is the better person for our state? Who's the better person for what other issue you might find important? But the idea that there's a Republican, I'm not just talking about AL1, it could be AL2, it could be AL3, 4, 5, 6, 7 while we got it. By the way, fill out your dang census form so we don't guarantee losing a congressional district. But they're all gonna vote with the president. Okay, so it's the subtle things after that that make the difference. So it's part of the discussion this morning at 343-0106. Also, what about, you know, you've got the big story leading network news here, the news found in the garage there of Bubba Wallace's race team. Mm-hmm. And explain, this is the garage at Talladega.
Right, that's right. It's their team stall there where they have all their equipment and, you know, everything they need to be ready to race. And the race was set to be ran yesterday at around 2 p.m. at Talladega, but because of the weather delays and there's no lights at the track, and you know, they lost the track at one point last night and determined that they would not be able to dry it off in time to run the entire race. And so that was the story for a while, but then NASCAR came out yesterday afternoon and said that a noose was apparently found in the stall of Bubba Wallace. Now, of course, Bubba Wallace is from Mobile originally and is the only black driver in the Cup Series. So this is major news, and if you go to any sports website right now, it's pretty much the leading story on every one of those sites. But Bubba Wallace himself did not find that noose. They said a member of his team, and now NASCAR has launched an investigation, and we'll see where that ends up here today. And they're set to race again later this afternoon at 2 o'clock, get that Talladega race underway.
All right, so we'll pick up that conversation here after the news break with you at 343-0106. Plus, in addition to that, there were battle flags being flown outside the racetrack property. One even flown over the track. Get to you when we come back. 343-0106. It's Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Dr. Bill saying some pretty heavy-duty thunderstorms possible by this afternoon, but for sure rain for the next few days. Talk to him and get more coming up around 8:35 right here on Mobile Mornings. All right, let's go to the phones. Phone number 343-0106 and Wayne in Saraland first up. Hey, Wayne.
Well, good Monday morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Good morning to you. How are you, man?
I'm doing wonderful. Look, I wanted to touch base with you on the Club for Growth.
Okay.
You know, I am fairly actively involved in Republican politics in the county. Have worked several campaigns. You know, and I've spoken to a couple of the candidates for AL01, you know, prior to the primary when they were all being interviewed by Club for Growth. And they were all asked specific questions about, you know, hot button issues for the state that I know two of them just stood up and said, "I'm not your guy," and walked out. So my biggest concern is what I'm wondering has Bill Hightower agreed to? What issue is it that he's promised them that he will carry their water for them in return for this, you know, million plus dollars in in campaign contributions. That really concerns me. You know, Club for Growth, while they have some good planks in their platform, mm-hmm. you know, there's the old saying, if you're not for me, you're against me.
Right, and Wayne, that's lost on people out there. You just said something important.
It really is, and they take no stance on illegal immigration. They take no stance on abortion. They take no stance on the public safety issues that are going on right now. And those are really high priority issues. You know, if you talk to a even semi-conservative, a moderate conservative Republican, you know, the things that they bring up are abortion, the economy, illegal immigration, and public safety. And Club for Growth has no stance on any of those issues.
And because like most PACs, it's fairly narrow, right? What they're pushing for, most PACs correct. Out there has it's Second Amendment, it's fiscal conservative, whatever. What Wayne just said, y'all, there are planks of the platform for Club for Growth. I'd say, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But, you know, may have to be pragmatic in that decision. Can't be idealistic all the time.
Correct.
Those things are good. But in today's binary world, that it's like if you're not for all parts, every plank, then you must be, like you said, against that, all the other planks. And the idea that you have a group out there that kind of brands you, like if you don't agree with them these things, then they'll be like, they oppose the Club for, or fill in whatever, ABC PAC, they oppose the ABC PAC, and the ABC PAC stands for such and such. Well, it might not have been such and such that you opposed, it might have been something else.
Exactly. And you know, a prime example of how they can take something and skew it, and if you don't really do your homework, you can be sucked into the message that they're putting out there. I got email blast and Facebook blast, social media blast last week or the end of the week before regarding, first it was the Schillinger Road expansion, mm-hmm. you know, but then it was the gas tax that Jerry mm-hmm. Carl, a county commissioner in Mobile County, had signed a $300 million state gas tax.
How's that? What Wayne's talking about, y'all, is remember, county commission didn't vote on that. The legislature did in Montgomery.
That's right. That is a state legislative action right there. And to be honest with you, I supported the gas tax. I would say doubled it because we are so far behind the curve on the infrastructure improvements and updates in the state. I wish they had gone even further than they did.
But in your position, right, you support it, but you still don't. I couldn't say Wayne Biggs voted on you're not voting on that.
Exactly right. Exactly.
And I appreciate your call and walking through this, because this is not even for one candidate against another candidate. This is just making sure, like you said, do your research, and that's part of my job here, to help people do their research. But they try to make the whole discussion in politics so simplistic, if you're all in or all out, when life doesn't work like that.
That is right. You have to weigh what is important to you. Like I said, Club for Growth has some good planks in their platform, and then they have some that don't exist. So I would have to weigh, and I have been a Bill Hightower supporter in the past. I mm-hmm. supported his gubernatorial run.
Yep.
But you know, I'm not supporting him in this race, and a lot of it has to do with this association with Club for Growth.
Well, I think he's supposed to be on, maybe it's Wednesday. I will work out with his people, and we'll ask that question. I want Bill's always been a good guy and has come on the show mm-hmm. and talk with me, so I know we'll be able to talk about it and get those questions answered.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Wayne.
You
guys have a great one. I appreciate you.
Hey, we appreciate you, Wayne, too. Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, and what Wayne said there, homework, which is usually a word that no one wants to hear, having to do homework, but I think that's important.
It's kind of our job here.
It is, no doubt, and you've done that with interviews with individual candidates, and that would be maybe part of the homework. If you're trying to decide who to vote for, go back, listen to our podcasts. We'll hopefully here in this week put those podcasts back up.
Dalton's good. Gathered them all. What is the word? They
curated. That's right.
You bunched them all together.
Yeah. So we'll have those up, so they're easy to flip through here this week, hopefully. But federally and on a general election, it's one thing. You know who you're going to vote for, Democrat or Republican. I mean, their visions for the country are so different from one another usually. But when you get down to a local level like this with Hightower and Carl, they're not going to differ on very many subjects. So what you have to do is pick what's important to you, find out exactly where both of the candidates stand on that issue, and then make your decision from there. But unfortunately, what we've seen is that negative advertising works, or we wouldn't see hit ads year after year in every single election. It does work, but hopefully, if you're someone who takes voting seriously, you'll do a little bit of that homework and find out who actually would best represent you.
Well said. What he said. What do y'all say? We'll come back and get your calls at 343-0106.
836 on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on a Monday. It's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Don. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. So we talk about trucks a lot on the lot at McConnell Automotive, but I want to talk about SUVs today because lots of mamas and daddies out there who need to round up the kids, take them to the beach or somewhere else this summer, and those SUVs you got on the lot, perfect for something like that.
Yeah, Dalton, you know, and what we want people to do is kind of rush before the end of June. And, you know, COVID-19 has been so tough on everybody. But what it's done, for car shoppers at least, buddy, is giving them some opportunities to, you know, get deals you just don't normally get. And 0% interest for 72 months is, with deferred payments, is one of my favorite things we've seen in a long time. And, you know, not a lot of people don't know that we have seven different SUVs at McConnell. And, you know, one of them is a little Buick Encore, and we got discounts to get them under $20,000 for a new, under $20,000 for a new SUV from Buick, and we go all the way up to the big Yukon XL and Denali XL. So we really got a great selection, man. And our website, you'll see big discounts on Yukons, the GMC Acadia, and, you know, all our Buicks, buddy. It's all on our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and quite frankly, we've got a different size and a different kind of vehicle for just about everybody, and we just invite people to come and shop with us.
Sure do. You have something for everybody. We appreciate it, Mitch.
All right, man. Y'all have a great start to the week, Dalton.
All right, you too. That's Mitch McConnell. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, 8:37, and get into what a lot of people are talking about this morning, what happened yesterday. It wasn't the actual race at Talladega, but the Confederate battle flag that was flown outside the Talladega grounds, I guess, and then literally flown over by an airplane over the top of Talladega. That was part of the story. And then this Bubba Wallace story that has a lot of people talking, but hey, we're talking about Mobilian in this mix as well.
Yeah, so yesterday the NASCAR Cup Series was set to race at Talladega for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic, and they allowed up to 5,000 fans to watch the race from the front grandstands and the towers, but unfortunately those fans had to wait an extra day because the weather yesterday meant that they postponed Talladega from yesterday afternoon to this afternoon. But of course, you mentioned it, 2 weeks ago NASCAR banned the Confederate flag from being seen on clothing or flown there on NASCAR property during race days and race weeks, and there wasn't much of a protest when they were, I'm trying to remember, I think they went to Miami last weekend. That was the first race that they had since the Confederate flag had been banned from property. But this weekend, apparently there were some that were driving down Talladega Boulevard there next to the raceway and had the Confederate flag on the sides of their trucks and were flying it behind the truck. Now, that's not on
First Amendment right.
That's right. Not on property, so they were flying it there. And then somebody paid for one of those planes. You know, if you go out to the beach, you see the seafood sales.
Yes, come eat, you know, two-for-one dinners tonight at so-and-so's.
Right, yeah. So somebody paid for one of those planes to fly above Talladega Super Speedway, and they were flying with the Confederate flag behind it, and it said, hashtag defund NASCAR there on the banner. So that's what was happening prior to and while the race was being delayed yesterday. But then later yesterday, NASCAR came out with a statement and said that apparently a noose had been found in the stall for the number 43 team. Now, Bubba Wallace, who is from Mobile and is the only black driver in the Cup Series, and also somebody who two and a half weeks ago, lobbied for NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag. They said they found a noose in his stall yesterday. ESPN reported that Bubba Wallace himself did not see the noose, but that somebody on his Richard Petty Motorsports team found it and let NASCAR know. So NASCAR came out pretty much immediately with a statement. They said, late this afternoon, NASCAR was made aware that a noose was found in the garage stall of the 43 team. We're angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We've launched an immediate investigation and we'll do everything we can to identify the person or persons responsible and eliminate them from the sport. So a noose reportedly found yesterday in Bubba Wallace's stall, and they're set to race this afternoon. Maybe NASCAR will know who did this by the time the race begins?
Yeah, because that's what I would ask, because I know about as much about NASCAR as I do, like, current TV shows. In other words, not much.
Right.
Yeah, I know some drivers' names. Obviously, I listen to your sports report, and I know the big stories, but I don't watch NASCAR. I don't watch any auto racing. Although I got a buddy out there that says, if you ever watch Formula One, you would never turn away from it. It's the most exciting thing. Okay, so their stalls, they set these up. Are they in the infield? I know there's pit stop, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Are they by the pit stop? Are they?
Yeah, they're in the infield.
Okay.
And it's kind of it's the garage. It's where they put. Okay. It's where they keep
the car. Is it a tent? Is it a tent or is it physical structure? Is it?
I believe it's a physical structure.
Okay.
You know, I don't know a whole lot about exactly how the stalls are arranged there, but I do know that we're talking millions of dollars worth of equipment. And
they probably want to keep things secret from other race teams they're doing, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I know there's rules and so I'm like the NASCAR.
There's not many secrets in the top level of NASCAR. You got some teams and some cars that are just much better than other teams and other cars.
Well, if you ran that non-ethanol gas in there, y'all.
that's all they have to do. But we're talking about a time in NASCAR. At a normal Talladega race, you'd have over 100,000 people there. It would be nonstop partying for the full week.
Those pictures.
There would be people allowed in the infield. They would be allowed to watch the race from the infield and camp and get pit passes and watch from right behind the pit boxes of these top stars. But we're talking about now where Talladega yesterday was the first race where they were going to allow only up to 5,000 people in attendance. And they also said that they weren't going to allow any, you know, regular fan into the infield. They would only be allowed to be there in the grandstand. So you're already talking about a limited number of people that would be legally able to be near these stalls during the race.
So we've limited the number of people it could possibly be.
That's right.
From a normal race.
Yes.
And beyond that, limited in the infield, a further limitation.
That's right.
Okay.
And with all of this equipment that would be in the stalls of these drivers, you would have to think that there would be cameras around.
That's where I was going. You're ahead of me. Yeah.
And even if they don't have a camera trained directly on their stuff, on their stall there, NASCAR would, you'd think, be able to piece together enough information from cameras that they do have there in the infield to kind of figure out exactly what happened. Now, I've seen a lot of people already.
Or pare it down even more. Like, we've gone from the big to the smaller to even smaller. Say, well, only these 30 people went to the. I don't know how many people go into the garage thing there, but let's say it's 30. But you say, okay, only these 30 people. Then you start. I mean, if we're going to dig into it, I want to see that NASCAR pursues this. I want to see how much they're going to pursue it.
And it seems that they will be pursuing it. They said they're actually even using law enforcement to help them figure this out. But
good.
I've seen a lot of people online already labeling Bubba Wallace, who, again, is from Mobile originally, they're labeling him the next Juicy Smollett and saying, well, he probably made this up. I even saw someone online recently who tagged me and said that he's making this up because he hasn't won and is not considered one of the best drivers on the Cup Series. Personally, I'm going to wait until this NASCAR investigation, until they give us some answers. If NASCAR comes out and says, well, you know, we really weren't able to find any video and we have no idea how this might have gotten there, that's one thing. But if NASCAR comes out and says, all right, we found these people walked by the stall or were in that stall during this amount of time and we've narrowed it down to, all I'm saying is, instead of saying that somebody is lying or coming out and saying, well, without a doubt, one of these other racist drivers or crew members put this noose in Bubba Wallace's stall in order to scare him, wait for the investigation. I'm sure there's cameras. There's got to be something to help piece together how this happened.
Well, because of the circumstances around it, it does have people begging the question and asking that. But yes, as long as I see NASCAR doing a real investigation of this, trying to get a real answer, then we'll wait for that information come out before passing judgment. I mean, you said it there. I don't know how it would benefit you if you're Bubba Wallace to play both sides of this. If you're Bubba Wallace, why would you do that? How does that help you in the NASCAR standings? You know what I'm saying?
Because he has spent his whole life trying to become a top NASCAR driver.
Right.
And the argument from a lot of these people that he stinks at NASCAR, I would say he is a mediocre driver at the top level of the sport.
Right.
You know, he's had several finishes this year in the 10 to 15 range. I mean, he traditionally finishes...
Like the worst player on Alabama's football team or Auburn's.
Right.
Alabama Auburn's football team is like the best player you've ever been around. If you played high school ball, the worst person on that team would smoke you.
He's a better driver than Danica Patrick was.
Right.
I'll tell you that much. And he's better than a lot of the drivers that are out there in the Cup Series.
He's not as good looking.
Nowhere near as good looking as Danica Patrick. But ask yourself, if you're going to say that he made this up, okay, maybe you end up being correct, and then that is an entirely different, that'll be a scandal of its own if that were to be true. But to say that he made this up because he's a middling driver in the top series of NASCAR, what would he have to gain? Okay, go risk-reward.
Uh-huh.
If he were to make this up, and this was invented out of, you know, whole cloth, that Wallace or he had someone place the noose there in order to gain attention, what would he have to gain by turning the only organization here, NASCAR, that he has tried to become a top driver in, what would he gain by turning literally everyone in NASCAR against him just to have a little bit of social clout? And what would he gain if he were to make this up?
Yeah.
He would get a lot of, you know, social justice warriors speaking up for him on his behalf, but his career would be over if he were to have found out to have faked this. So
yes,
just by doing the little risk-reward analysis, I would say more than likely he did not invent this. He did not put the noose there in his own stall in order to drum up this big story. Again, I don't know, and NASCAR is going to investigate this, but it would make zero sense for him to do that unless he was extremely short-sighted and just wanted a bit of the spike in popularity from this coming out. Also, we've seen, I mean, think of Birmingham and some of these other places where they say noose found in park or noose found here or there, and then it turns out that it was something completely unrelated, maybe something that looked like a noose, something that was used for something else. So that's also a possibility. Maybe this was a rope that was tied like a noose but was being used as something else.
Yeah. And people are on the text line are talking about whether, can you get the DNA off the rope, you know, and see and check it that way. I want to see that. I'm going to sit back and watch this play out, but I want to know that NASCAR is not going to just say, I want them to do a real investigation.
Yeah, it seems like NASCAR is at least going about this the right way, and they have pledged that they're going to have a full investigation. They re-released their statement this morning saying they're looking into it. I don't think they're just going to sweep this under the rug.
All right, Tom, coming right back. We'll grab your phone calls at 343-0106. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, glad to have you along. I just want to say quickly here, the story, we'll talk about this more, but the accident in Clark County. Dalton, you had some ties there.
Yeah, a little bit.
With the school, right?
Yeah, so Megan Brunson, 25-year-old, that was killed in this wreck on 43 late Friday night. She and her mother were driving, I guess. I don't know if they were north or southbound, but they had her 5-year-old daughter in the car and her younger sister. Megan Brunson graduated from the same high school I graduated from. She graduated 6 years after I did, and I think she was going into her second year of teaching at Thomasville, either high school or elementary school. But yeah, just an awful awful story from Friday night where apparently police were chasing a suspect and the suspect crossed over the median and hit this other car head on and killed Megan and her mother and put the two children in critical condition. Just an awful story from Friday night, but yeah, some ties to my alma mater there, Clark Prep.
Yeah, and it's just one of those that strikes me as, I know this sounds cliche, but it could be safer every day. Savor every moment.
That's right.
Father's Day yesterday, thinking about stuff, savor every moment. We don't know when our day will come. It's heartbreaking. All right, back to our conversation. Terry had said on the text line, did Bubba do it? Well, somebody did. If it was a counterstrike to the flag protest, I don't think Wallace was involved. NASCAR, however, I wouldn't put it past him. But like you, I want a real investigation. There's no place for this. All right, to the phones, and let me go to, let's go to John in Mobile first. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning. Do you think for a second that we thought that Jesse Smollett staged that whole crap? No. Nobody did until there was an investigation, well, and then they followed up on it. He didn't care about his career.
He was a mediocre actor
that was pissed off because he was underpaid. Look at Bubba Wallace. He's a mediocre driver. And I guarantee, not to say he did it, but there's always a possibility, and I guarantee you, I think he was probably, he's not far off from being probably, was probably going to be let go from Rich Petty's driving team, race team, because he hadn't really done anything other than just been driving. I mean, they never talked about him during the weekends other than, oh, there he is in 20th to 25th place or maybe 15th. But I don't know. I really don't know, and I wouldn't put anything past anything nowadays.
All right, John.
Comes out to this was staged, it would not blow me away because anything's possible, Sean. Y'all have a good day.
Hey, I'll agree. Anything's possible. And I did raise my hand, by the way, because when the Jesse Smollett thing came out and the second or third day, I went, looked at Dalton, I said,
yeah,
something's just not.
Very early on.
The motivations here don't seem right.
Right.
Could anything happen? Sure. Sure. But I think, as long as I watch NASCAR doing a real investigation, I'll feel good sitting back and waiting for the facts. And I think it's incumbent upon NASCAR to take this seriously. I mean, they're talking about it, but they need to do that.
Right. Yeah, and I think they will take it seriously.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Baldwin County next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, got you loud and clear.
Okay, I'm traveling on the road, so I'll make it real quick. I spend a lot of my time overseas, and here lately, being overseas, you know, you get the news, what's happening over there, what's going on over here. My perspective, I know everybody has an opinion, but it seems like we live in a generation of society today where people don't want to listen to one another. It's almost like it's me against you or it's you against me. And there's lack of maturity. You know, it's on both sides, white, black, I don't care what your color is, but the old additive was, I agree to disagree, and let's talk. I remember growing up as a kid, I got four brothers, and Dad would always say, y'all agree on everything. Of course, we didn't, but he says, you know, talk it out, and you'll come to a conclusion. There's more that you agree upon than you disagree. And I think that's where we need to be at now in this society today. We need to listen. We need to get out the agitators and begin to listen to one another. Come together as a nation. Quit trying, you know, to divide the country and become the United States of America, not the divided States of America. But that's my opinion. So,
well said, Mike. I have one quick question for you. Where do I send my check for your campaign?
Well, I spend most of my time in the Baltic region, so I'm not a politician. I'm just an average Joe American. I just love the country, and I love the people. Whether you're blue, black, green, I don't care what your color is. I like you, and I want to be your friend.
Well said, Mike. Well said. We appreciate that. Good sentiment. We will pick this back up at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Remember, votenappies.com. Also, all the great content Lana's putting on our Facebook page. Make sure not to miss it. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5.